going to call a meeting to order. How's everybody doing?
Doing well.
Great. Can we go over the agenda?
Yeah.
I guess we can say who. Hello.
Yeah, first let's do intros, and that'll be useful for the recording, just to identify the voice with the name. So, I'll start. I'm Holden.
I'm Bob.
I'm Tim.
Greg.
And I'm Ellie.
Okay, that took less than 2 minutes. Awesome. Okay, so just to give the agenda's in front of you, but the basic idea is, you know, I want to get the bank account thing done first. It's a relatively minor issue, in my opinion. And then the big agenda for this meeting is the performance review, with the source material being the annual review that we've had up on our website for several months. And then we're going to be, you know, voting to restore my position on the board as executive director and put Lindy on the board, and then we're going to discuss the metrics. So
the things that I wanted to know about were basically like getting, we don't have any update of like, essentially, here's the research vision, this is how it's going.
Sure.
Here's the GiveWell pledge vision.
Okay.
Here's how it's going. This is what we think. Here are the things that could happen that could be a problem. Here are the things.
Are we going to go? We should go through that.
That's not on the agenda. We're happy to add it. I don't know. Do you want to do that before or after the kind of review of year one? So I'll do it after.
We can do it after. That's fine.
Just a point of clarification. Am I supposed to be voting in this meeting, or are you guys voting first as to whether I'm actually going to be on the board? I mean, how does this work?
We should add you first.
Yes, we need to vote to have you on the board, which we can do. We can do that first.
That's what it says in the amendment. So
let's do it. I think it would be good, Lindy, if you could maybe give a little background about who you are and what brought you to GiveWell. I think that would be valuable for those people who don't know.
Yeah, for on the record, although she's already spoken with Bob.
We spoke at some length, and she's spoken to Holden as well. So.
Yeah, I don't mind doing that. My name is Lindy Miller, and I came to GiveWell because I read some of the articles, some of the coverage that was given to the organization, I guess in December of last year. And at the time, I was the head of the South Asia office for JPAL, which is the Poverty Action Lab at MIT, a research institute. And so my background is sort of split my time between practitioner of development and private sector consultant for mostly public sector organizations. So I currently am a manager with Deloitte's Corporate Strategy Practice here in Toronto. And I've worked in India for essentially 2.5 years, for a year with a local NGO, and for half a year with the World Bank, and then for a year with this academic institution. So I sort of have different perspectives in those frame of development. I'm also teaching a class this year at U of T, University of Toronto, on practical issues of international development. So this is sort of the area of my expertise, and yet my focus in my corporate life has been on strategic planning and governance. So I work with organizations, like I said, mostly public sector, but also with insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies and oil and gas companies on strategic planning issues, mostly with management with board of directors and entities.
Okay.
So that's a bit about me. I'm also expecting a baby in 6 weeks.
Mm.
I guess it's
wow. Congratulations.
I think one of the things that we were looking for on the board was someone to come in and be able to serve not just in a strategic capacity, but be a tactical resource, sort of person who Holden and Ellie can call up, you know, sort of on a weekly basis to, you know, ping ideas off of and to get insight and someone with some experience in the field sufficient to be able to provide the right perspective. And I think, you know, Lindy has agreed to serve the board at that level, which I think is valuable, and it's a nice bridge between what I'm doing, which is more sort of very day to day, reading, you know, looking through all the emails, reading the blog, making sure, you know, things that come up get sort of flagged and caught, and, you know, what Greg and Tim are doing, and Lucy, which is a much more sort of occasional strategic involvement in the organization. So I think this is part of our overall move to try and have more, essentially, better overall governance for the organization and having more resources for Holden Ellie to draw upon more regularly.
Yep, and more active oversight being Ellie. Okay.
Any questions? Other things you guys want to add?
Do you guys have any questions for me?
No, nope. Makes sense to me. What medications are you on when you agreed to do this?
Pregnancy hormones, that's all.
This is all recorded.
The nurturing instinct kicking in.
Well, thank you. That's great.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I think it's a really exciting venture, and there's a lot of change happening, and so it's a good time to get involved.
So I formally move to add Lindy to the board.
Second.
And we'll vote. There are three of us. Greg?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And so it is done.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Lindy, do you have a sense of who we other members of the board are?
Well, funny you should say that. The benefit of being on a conference call is that I can be also in front of my computer and like check people's bios while I'm being introduced to them. but I would love to hear. I mean, I have a sense of Holden and Bob and peripherally of Ellie, but I would love to hear about you, Greg and Tim.
And Tim?
I'm actually going to suggest that we exchange emails or phone calls later this week so that we keep the board meeting on agenda time and are out of here by 10.
Tim is the man keeping us on the clock.
So, Holden, can you just give them my email address and we can set them up?
Sure. I mean, you were all on the email I sent, but I'll make sure that I sort of send her
out.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, up next.
Up next is, you know, I'd like to vote on this resolution concerning bank accounts, just to clarify what we're doing here. There's a couple issues we're addressing at once. One is that we have a good amount of cash on hand. It's been sitting in checking. Frankly, we should have done something about it a while ago, and we just want to establish a money market account for it, just to earn a reasonable rate of interest. And the other thing that we're going to do is we're going to establish two more accounts that are specific, you know, a checking and a money market that are specifically for the donor advised fund. And included in this resolution, or in this set of resolutions, is the resolution to create the GiveWell Pledge Fund, which is our name for the donor advised fund. So I just want to quickly explain why we're doing that. As we state in the formal plan for next year, we're introducing the idea of a GiveWell Pledge and really focusing on that as a way to move as much money as possible. By move money, I mean cause people to give money to our recommended charities because of our recommendation. And so the way the GiveWell Pledge works is we ask people to commit in advance to give to one of our recommended charities, but they don't need to, they don't need to abdicate the decision of which charity, and they don't need to pay anything to our operating fund. And so that's intended as a way to, you know, to make it as good a deal as possible for these customer donors. So we want them to use our research. We want to prove they're using our research. We want to be able to use their money as leverage. But we don't, you know, we don't need them paying us a fee, and we don't want them to, and we want them to have as much choice as we can. That's what a GiveWell Pledge is. And the GiveWell Pledge Fund is just to deal with the logistics around that. So, you know, a few things that this takes care of, having a donor-advised fund, is one, let's say that someone wants a tax deduction this year, but our research isn't going to be ready to recommend charities this calendar year. Well, they can give to the GiveWell Pledge Fund, get their tax deduction, and they can make their recommendation when our research is ready. Two, there's an issue of proof. You know, we have to be able to prove that we moved a certain amount of money. Well, if our donors want their privacy, then just their word is not going to be enough. Having the money go through the GiveWell Pledge Fund proves that it was, you know, it was formally committed to be given to one of our recommended charities. So that's why we want to create the checking and money market account to hold the money in the pledge fund. We want it to be separate from our checking account to emphasize that the money is in no way contributing to our operating expenses. There's no fees. It's simply a way to deal with the logistics around giveaway pledges. So that's the idea of this resolution. I sent it out in advance, so there's, you know, the specifics of how it works is that we're authorizing me to be the signer on it as far as the bank is concerned, and we're also resolving as a board that I need approval of the chairman and treasurer for any expense of more than $5,000.
And that's for the money market accounts.
For all of the accounts. I've needed that from the beginning. That's our checking account currently has that control as well.
So what I'm wondering about sort of separating out the donor advised fund. Who's holding the donor advised fund? I mean,
what?
GiveWell doesn't have to register with the IRS and all sorts of things to create a donor advised fund. Usually the donor advised fund.
We have to report it on a tax form.
Yes.
But to create it, we need a resolution in a separate bank account.
Yes.
Can I?
Okay.
Sorry, clarification question?
Yes.
I guess this is assuming that the strategy for has gone through. Is that right?
So what has gone through?
Like the GiveWell pledge, like the whole notion of doing GiveWell pledges.
Yes.
That has been decided already.
It's been discussed in previous meetings. Like I think we've agreed on it as a temporary path. I think that's pretty accurate. The creation of these accounts doesn't obligate us to. If we can change our minds later about what we're emphasizing. It's something that's been discussed before. This is not the first time the GiveWell pledge has come up in a meeting. Just wanted to make sure everyone was up on it.
Okay.
And I want to make sure that everyone's just aware of one other thing, which is that we, like, the way that we currently have the arrangement with the bank has a policy that two signatures are required for checks over $5,000. And so it's like it's done formally through the bank, and now the bank has like changed their policy. They don't do that kind of thing anymore. And so I've discussed this with our accountant and our auditor, and agreed that it makes sense to, like, as far as the bank is concerned, make me the signer, which is a change. And as far as the bank is concerned, there's, you know, I have full authority over the account. As far as the board is concerned, there's restrictions, and that's what I've added in at the bottom in bold.
And there's no other legal or regulatory issues that we need to address in construction of this?
Not
that we know. I mean, we went to our lawyer. Our lawyer is the one who gave us the requirements.
Yeah.
And we will, like, the final, so we have these three pieces that we need to do, the resolution, the account, and then we also need language that those who give money to the fund sign that they understand what the fund is.
Mm-hmm.
And so hold it, we have to send that, get the lawyer to vet mm-hmm. that language, but I don't think we've done that.
We haven't done that, but that's for don't. Like, we don't need anything else to authorize the creation of these accounts.
So I hate to slow this kind of stuff down, but it does seem like a weird structure to do it that way versus a third party. Like, because the risk here with a small organization, like the risk if you're a major donor would be some sort of fraud.
Right.
Where if it was going through a third party, that the money goes into a third party and out to the charity, that seems like a much better structure than this structure. So I don't think, was that looked into and not feasible, or was that just not looked into?
Well, we did. We looked into it briefly and early. I think we asked our lawyer, like, whether it would be smarter to partner with, like, a big existing donor advised fund versus do our own. And I don't remember all the details of the conversation. Like, he said we should do our own. I think that in my mind, the fraud thing is not a big concern for a couple reasons. One is that, you know, we are asking people to commit in advance to give to one of our recommended charities. I mean, we need to establish some base level of trust there. That what you're describing, I think, would be a little beyond that. But also,
if you build this right, I don't think a foundation would agree to this. Knowing how they operate, they wouldn't do that. Bridgewater, I'm just saying, it just seems like a. But I don't know enough about this to have any view. It would seem like they would, just as a matter of policy, it's nothing to do with you, as a matter of policy, that they wouldn't give you control of money they didn't have to.
Right.
And the concept of what you're describing does not require you ever having control.
True. The concept is not. And for the record, like, we don't, you know, this is, we want this as one mechanism to implement the concept. And so we want this option on the table is the reason that we're authorizing the creation. We're not, you know, designating this as the sole mechanism for handling pledges. And so if someone's not comfortable with it, there's two things I would tell them. One, I mean, you could give you know, in small chunks of time. You give a small amount, we re-give it. You give a small amount, we re-give it. The risk is limited to whatever you want it to be. And two, that I would
not, although I'm concerned, maybe 2% fewer. Not if you're concerned about the year thing. Like if you're concerned, I want to donate
right,
a pound.
That's true. That's true.
Then you have to put up the money.
Yep.
And the other thing that I'm thinking related to that is, anyway, so I don't know if you need to partner with somebody else's donor advisement to have a U.S. bank or whatever have like a trustee that signs the checks on that particular account.
Yep.
That's a third party. We can hold off on that. Like, I don't want to hold this up any further, but that is how I think the design would make more sense and give people who are used to this dealing with this kind of stuff the comfort that they would normally expect out of something like this.
Okay. Well, I think that's possible.
Let me suggest a way forward here. I generally agree with Greg. I'm really surprised that this is all it takes to offer donor advised funds. I know most organizations hold their donor advised funds at either a community foundation or a Fidelity or Schwab.
Okay.
So what I would suggest is that we go ahead and authorize this.
Right.
So it's in process. Mm-hmm. And ask Holden to find out how much it would cost to have Schwab, Fidelity, or the New York Community Foundation actually hold the donor advised fund.
Yep.
And then we can make a decision based on the benefit of the third party versus the cost that would be involved.
So you'll report to us in, 2 weeks?
Yep.
What the third party possibly is?
Right. I mean,
it's also worth pointing out that, you know, when we ask people for direct donations, that is a high level of trust itself to give us money. And this is like a similar, I would say, like a slightly lower level of trust that we need to pass for people to be comfortable.
But the idea is to have this concept, I think, is to go beyond people that already trust you. Like, I don't think this, like, I wouldn't do it this way with people I didn't know. So if you're trying to convince people this is a good idea, like, I think we need to consider that as you try to expand the circle and in quantities, hopefully in quantities greater than what you've already gotten. So I think you're overweighing, like, you can come here and you can talk to me and you can talk to people that trust you and they'll write you a check, like, on the spot, and then so they get a totally different thing for a stranger.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you know, I'll tell you what I know, which is that I talked to the lawyer. I told him our full situation. I brought up the possibility of partnering with a Fidelity or Schwab. I didn't bring up the thing you said about sort of, you know, having a bank as a trustee. I talked about using someone else's PAF. He advised us to do it this way. He didn't raise the concerns you're raising, and we've talked to donors, including strangers, about how we're going to do this, and they've generally seemed pretty comfortable with the idea. So that's, you know, that's why we didn't spend much effort looking into the other options, but you want me to look further into them, so well.
Would we want, like, I think another level of confidence would be not having Holden as the sole signatory on the account and basically have the board be responsible.
Right. We could do that for the donor advised funds.
For the donor advised fund. I think we should have every
issue
of any size. Yes, I know it'll be a pain in the ass. But that separates the money from you. You and Ellie.
Yep.
So put that into the resolution.
Well, is that what you want to do? We want to put Bob and Greg as the signatories?
For the donor advisor.
For the donor advisor. So.
Can we have two signatories? That was an issue.
We can have two signatories. It was the thing that they didn't want to do was
with,
like,
grand.
Two signatories for over $5,000, one for under, and they didn't want to get into that. I mean, I will have to talk to our bank about exactly how to do this because the form they gave me isn't perfect for it, but it's fine, I will.
Okay.
So, I mean, we all agreed on this already, but the idea is that we're creating this because we're here now, we can vote on it, but we're not going to be using this the whole fund until we look more into the other options.
Okay.
Good. All right. So I move to accept it based upon these two additional notes to the resolution.
I'm modifying this resolution.
Agreed. We're done.
Yes.
Vote, please, everyone.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Tim.
I second it. I guess I do have to go after a second, don't I?
Okay.
All right. Moving right through.
Huh? A little slow, but
okay. The next part is the performance review of staff. So I've brought up the bylaws. You can look at the relevant parts here. Okay, so this is sort of side issues. This is Section 7, periodic reviews. Or you know,
can you make it a little bigger for me.
Make it bigger. This is a crazy program.
What program is that?
This is WordPad. Why is there not Word on this computer? Is that good?
No, great.
How about that? So, Lindy, we're just looking at the section. This is Article 9, Section 7 of the bylaws, which are on our website. I can just read it to you if you want, or if you pulled it up, that's what we're reading over.
I can pull it out, don't worry. Where on the website is it?
It's givewell.net/clearfund-records, and then you scroll down and go to the bylaws.
Clearfund-records. Okay. Yeah, I got it. You said Section 9?
Article 9, Section 7. And probably the quickest way to find it is to hit, like, Control F and go periodic reviews.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
And then elsewhere in the bylaws, it also says that there's a performance review of the executive director. So find that.
Okay.
Here we go. This is... Article 3, Section 4, duties. Supposed to formally review the performance of the chief executive officer at least once every 2 years. I mean, so this is not strictly required because we don't technically have a CEO and it's only been 1 year, but it's good to do it anyway. By the way, we did just get our Form 990 and financial audit, those were just completed, so I'll email those in the next couple days, and we'll be able to look at them at the next meeting. Okay, so now, you know, now is the time to basically, I mean, I would say this is not strictly required by the bylaws, but I think it's a good idea to just review the performance of me and Ellie, you know, the compensation, the terms under which it was decided. So, like I said, I think we wrote up pretty thoroughly what we thought were the strengths and weaknesses of our first year. We've also been doing the biweekly reports since January. And so at this point, I think what makes sense is you guys just ask us whatever questions you have and whatever discussion you want, and then we'll exit the room and Bob will write up your sort of conclusions from the review. That
sound
good?
Yep. So, I have something to that. I mean, basically, I mean, the annual review paper gives a picture of sort of the whole organization and its outcomes versus, you know, expectations. And I think what it doesn't do is give a tangible sense of, like, what, like with the contribution of Holden relative to Ellie,
mm-hmm.
are those at the bar, are they not at the bar,
yep.
et cetera. So we could, like, go through some formal process of trying to evaluate that. I think at a minimum probably the best thing would be to get feedback from each one of you on each other to say, you know, at least to get some senses to the breakdown between the two of you in terms of accomplishing the organizational goal.
Yeah, and I think the biweekly report will be helpful with that as we continue to do those, because those say, you know, what we spend our hours on, and it also says, like, who's responsible for different tasks, but, you know, we only started keeping those halfway through, so
right.
we can give feedback. Oh boy. We can give feedback. So who's going first?
I'll go first.
Okay. Is this not awkward with both of you in the room, or is everyone comfortable with it?
I'm comfortable with it.
We love it. I live for this.
Okay.
All right. We can also, like, there is a section of this review that is without the staff present, so if you want to also add on a section that's...
If we want to call one of you
in. Yeah, call one in and one out, but I think we should first do the section that has everyone present, people say what they're comfortable with other people hearing, and then if you have anything else to say, you can say it off the record. And we're not going to release those recordings either, any of that stuff.
Of the staff performance.
Anything where a person was put out of the room so that they wouldn't hear things. That recording's not going to be published.
Right.
Okay, so I guess I'll talk about Holden, and then I'll give my own. I want to talk to myself too. Look at him; he's getting all nervous. This is great. Do you get nervous when I give you feedback over the phone or
over chat?
I think that Holden certainly in the first half of the year, you know, like from when I started in August through January was. You know, was the primary driver of the organization. He was like the one pushing things, and so I think he was playing that role of executive director, and I was like playing a secondary role in the organization. And I think in the second half, you know, that shifted a little bit. Like I think that Holden. You know, he did a good job in the first half, like I think a great job getting the research done. And what that meant was, you know, making sure that we stayed doing what we needed to do. I think that, you know, you've had trouble, and we've talked about it over the last 6 months, you know, like staying productive, not getting lost in doing things that I think, you know, we both agree later, like took too much time. And so that, I mean, I would say that, I think that, you know, you did much better in the first half, like in the first 6 months than the last 6 months, and making sure that we were, you know, you're doing productive work and that we both are.
Yep.
And I think, like, the place you dropped off most was, like, in holding me accountable for my work, you know, which happened. You know, Holden, the other thing that Holden was the primary driver of in the first part was doing the bulk of the writing on the website. Like I did, I don't write as well, like I have trouble getting all the words out in the right way and making sure it's as precise as I think it needs to be, because we're new and the research needs to be top notch. And so that's, you know, that took up a lot of, that was one of the activities Holden spent most of his time on. So I would say that, like, in the first half of the year, I think Holden did above what I would have thought job, like great job, and I think it's lagged a little bit in the last 6 months.
So what do you think behind that? You said wasting time, but what's the time? Why is timing wasted?
Well, by wasted, I mean like we make a strategic mistake in how important we think something is.
Right, and why does that happen? Why isn't that happening?
Why is that?
Like is that like in retrospect, we shouldn't have spent so much time, but at the time it was a reasonable decision? Or is it that we're not making a reasonable decision?
I have one case in mind where it was not a reasonable decision at the time, and that was our fundraising materials. Like we overvalued what a nice packet of stuff would do for us, and therefore we spent too much time trying to make them perfect. Or perfect's the wrong word, but trying to make them great, and that was just a poor allocation of time based on a misjudgment of what I think they would do for us.
Do you guys actually bounce here? Were those ideas bounced off of the board, or those are independent decisions, management decisions?
We told the board that we were making the materials, and of course, like the amount of time we were spending on them was always in the biweekly reports. But you know, it was just a misjudgment of what value we were going to get from creating them.
I have a different take. Like I think what happened was I totally agree with Ellie's overall. Like that was a bad decision. Like my take of what happened is much more that we just were real bad at knowing how close we were to being done with them. That these reports, like I don't think that I had an inflated sense of what they would do for us, but it just always felt like they were almost done, and we just weren't disciplined enough about saying, you know, okay, this is how long this is taking. We need to cut this off. We need to lower our standards. So that's I'm going to have a turn, so I'll have more to say. But, I mean, I also want to say, Ellie, that that's the only example I've got. Like, I do think, and I'll address this, like, I do think that I was better in the first half than the second half, but as far as, like, making strategically bad decisions, like, I don't know what else you're thinking of.
I do want to dig into what is going on like the thing from a distance does seem like the same thing, even though last year, like the getting through the research is harder than I imagined it would be, like significantly harder than I imagined it would be. And so I'd be worried about this. Is there time wasting churn just because nobody's helping point you in the right direction?
I mean, I think that research, like if you're, the time that's going on right now where the research is slower than you expected, I think is a, like essentially a capacity issue. Like I'm spending, like Holden and I decided that, you know, we need to do fundraising and research. And so I'm happy doing fundraising. I like it. And so I've done a lot of that work, and Holden's more on research. So that's the allocation, but it basically means that I'm, what I mean, the last few weeks, 80-90% on talking to people and doing fundraising for the pledges, and holding is maybe a third, you know, 20-30% on fundraising.
When you add my hours, I'm more.
Maybe even more.
Because the problem with fundraising is it's like, you know, I'm supposed to not focus on it, but it's like, you know, here's a real important meeting, or here's someone that has a better connection to Holden, and then they're, you know, they're somewhere, or here's someone in New York, I'm the only one in New York. And so, like, I just end up, like, at all these meetings, and, like, I take opportunities, because they're good opportunities to meet with people, but, no, my hours, I spend less than half my time on research.
So that's why, I mean, that's a problem, that's why it's going slow now.
I think we're doing our. I think Elena would agree. I think we're doing our research pretty well per hour right now.
Okay, but there's this misunderstanding how long things are going to take. You talked about it with respect to these materials, but also like that was the same thing with the research. Like,
oh yeah.
Consistently had the same thing where we under budget for whatever reason.
Yep.
All of us like agreed something would take a certain amount of time, and it took a lot longer than we expected. And being at the distance that I am, which also goes to I have a point about Cindy's point about is the board oversight on this level, like it's necessarily not even close to that level, even though I think that would be highly desirable to make this thing function well. It's absolutely questioning what's going on at that level. So it's very hard to tell, but certainly what has to get better is our ability to say this is what's going to happen in this amount of time, because it is I think it's sort of unacceptable to consistently over budget time the same way, or you know, miss the budgets on time the same way that we're missing, like equally as if you're missing budgets on cash or whatever. Like you gotta think of it that way, that we have to be realistic, think up front, what is this really going to take, learn from these lessons of missing how much time things take, so that we have practical expectations that can be met.
I also just want to jump in here because I'm new in all of this, and I feel like, you know, I'm listening to what you guys are saying. I think there's a growth and learning curve that happens, and there's also it's a question of experience. And I just think what it sounds like, not being privy to these discussions before, is that there's sort of a need to bounce things off of people a little bit more. In terms of, does this sound right? And I don't know if that has happened a lot with the board or not, if you guys have had recourse to people to bounce your ideas off of people to assess whether this is really supposed to take the amount that you think it's going to take. Then there's a question of experience in managing other people, which, you know, is a learned skill. And being able to assess and act on your assessment effectively or efficiently. So, like, what I'm hearing, the things that you guys are bringing up, seem to me a combination of experience and guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's fair or not, because I haven't been on the board, but just that's my impression. And I wonder if it's not up to us also as a board to help in at least the guidance part of things.
Regarding guidance, I mean, we have the same concern, and we, you know, we've been trying to do things about it, and so one thing that we're trying to do is we started up this research email list, you know, which we've not been doing as good a job with as we could have, but it's, you know, we put a bunch of our major supporters on there. We offer people on the board to get on. No one has taken us up, but I think at least one person on the board should be on there. And the idea of that is to have just a constant flow of what we're thinking. And, hey, if there's no emails coming through, it means that we're either spending all our time fundraising or we're not getting anything done.
But the question still remains, like, is that the most effective use of time? So, you know, if I were, like, that may be a great idea, and it's a good way of having a network of people to discuss or a forum to discuss things in, but is that going to be the most efficient way for you guys to choose how you guide your time?
I think the email list is zero time cost. It just, you know, because what we do is we send out notes. It's not like the blog where we try to make sure that it's all, you know, that no one can pick it apart.
Sure, it's a value question. Are you getting the value from it that you could get if you devoted whatever amount of time, a little extra time, to more one-on-one or whatever it may be? I'm just thinking in terms of your stage in development as an organization and for you two particularly in your roles.
Right, I think Wendy's point, which I think we'll all agree with, it would be great if we could get help from you. We certainly don't have the time from me or others, like, which is guidance on management. Like, so what I'm hearing is, what we know you guys could benefit from is good guidance on how you're spending on management. What you were describing was guidance on research questions. Are we going down the wrong track here in terms of this research? That's obviously totally separate from guidance on management. Like, is the amount of time that's being spent on fundraising appropriate relative to research?
Those
are actually relevant, I think. The management side, I think you captured that. But on the research side, too, there may be very specific people who you could speak with and spend an hour on the phone with them and get more guidance in terms of your research and how you're going to spend your research time effectively than you could if you had these forums or whatever.
Right.
Maybe it's a question of getting on the phone with the right people.
Right, I think that's also a good suggestion. Like, I think there's a randomness to whoever you happen to have on that email list depending on the topic that you're discussing. So I think that also makes sense. Like, I don't know how much that's right. You would know better. Like, if you have a question on a topic, are you pursuing that in an effective way by sending it out to those people, which I think is fine because you're saying it's zero cost anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe you get something back of that.
But
do you pursue your question beyond the email list? Is the general pursuit of the question an effective pursuit of the question? I watch this here all the time where people can spend a lot of time on a question and pursue it poorly.
Yeah.
Or they can pursue it well and get it done quicker.
Yeah.
And the guidance on that from the board is, I don't know what Bob does, but minimal, certainly for me, but like non-existent.
So, and I think I would be totally ignorant to be able to say whether or not you should be, you know, calling certain people up and doing things like that.
So let me, on research, I think that we, like, just to put it very broadly, I think that we make decisions and we go down paths in a pretty good way, but we don't get enough feedback on it, you know? Like, when I look at the results and I look at, especially with this round of research, like what we've done with how many hours we have, pretty happy. But I don't think we're getting enough feedback regardless of that. We started the list because we wanted to be in the habit of sending stuff out because we wanted the possibility of getting feedback, and then now we can always add someone to that list. And so to me, it's like it's a matter of making sure the right people are on that list, which I don't really think they are right now. And so, you know, that's kind of a support issue where we need people who are good and who have time. And the best thing to do with those people, I think, is
growth. And on research, we have the mechanism of the research board, you know, which is the people who are focused on research know things, who are experts, to be able to, will be able to talk to them.
The advisory board.
And that board is we haven't yet, like, had
we
a meeting with those people, but that's the structure that we're going to use and talk, like, have a conversation with that group more regularly on this.
But that's going to be, it's different, because that's going to be, like, once a month, and we're going to prep for it. Those are people who have no time. Like, we also, I think, we would benefit, if the question is, you know, we would benefit a lot from having someone who has the time to really participate in that mailing list and who's good. We I don't think we have anyone of that description right now.
Well, I'm happy to help with that.
Okay,
I mean, that's something that I have expertise in, that I have a lot of resources that I can call on to ask questions, and you know, that's a role that I can play.
Great.
let me suggest a bit more redirection back towards the review,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
then we can come back to the suggestions for improvement after we've gone through the review stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, Ellie, you're still in the middle of your review.
Yeah, I mean, I was basically done with what I was saying about Holden, like, and then I just wanted to say about myself, too.
Finish the Holden review and then do your review? So do you want to add anything to what Ellie said? Like,
I agree with it broadly. I think, One thing that I got to put out there is I spend less time on this since January 1st. Less time on GiveWell. And it's a lot of time. I spend a lot of time on GiveWell, so don't get me wrong. And I think it's, I track the hours that I'm really working, not the hours I'm kind of trying to work. So I think it's the equivalent of about a 60-hour week. But that is less than I did before. And so my production has dropped off. And it's, frankly, it's just a thing where I do better work when I work more. I focus better, I think. I'm more in a rhythm. And I used to, last year I worked every single Sunday and probably every other Saturday. And now I take my weekends off almost entirely. To me it's been a battle, the whole time. It's just that the first year I was fine just putting my head down and working on nothing else. And I think partly because of the whole mile two of the marathon thing and partly because of the problems we had in January that just made me question what I was doing. I mean, it's harder for me to just bury myself in this now. I also think it's just not wise. Just being very frankly about media and my life and, I don't think it's sustainable. But it's something I struggle with. So that's the issue. I'm still working hard, and I think I'm still working well, but I'm not at the level that I was last year, and that's largely because last year I made a decision to have no life, and this year I'm not making that decision. So it is it's like a workout weekend versus not thing. And I still do work on weekends sometimes, but not nearly as much. That's something that, I think it's good to have right out there, and I think it's affected me, and the question is how good can I be without totally being buried. So on the other stuff, I think strategically we've generally been pretty good, but we do need more feedback. The only real example I have of a strategic blunder is the fundraising, which I think was one. And then another issue I want to raise is I just wanted to address Greg's point about how things take too long. My experience with research has just been consistently that we quickly look at something, we quickly figure out what we want to do, we quickly come to a conclusion, and then we start writing it up. And as we write, the write-up is the part, the formalization, the explanation is the part that just takes. I can't estimate how long it's going to take because I can never, give myself enough time because I just can't believe something would take that long. And it's just that we form all these preliminary conclusions, we glance at something, then we go back to write it up, and we realize that a lot of the stuff we had preliminarily concluded, we really aren't sure of it, we don't feel comfortable putting it down on the website, so we look into it more, blah, blah, blah. And so what we've been trying to do about this is write things up more as we go. Have much less of the dynamic the first year was very much we would, basically finish a cause in our heads and then start writing it up. And the write-up would just drag on forever and you wouldn't hear a word from us until it was done. And now we're much more trying to, every time we make a new decision about what we're going to do, I try to write it up on the blog. And really write it up, write it up the way it's going to be on the website, with the result that the blog is now the world's most boring, number one most boring blog. But that's how it goes. I think it's continuing to be true that it takes longer, but I'm hoping I'll at least get a better sense and a better ability to manage my time by doing this, and there will be fewer nasty surprises. So that's how it's been. So we made recently agreed on a list of priority interventions for the developing world, and now I'm going and blogging why we're doing that instead of going and examining those interventions and finishing the whole thing and then writing it all up. And the write-up that I'm doing now is taking too long, but that's just... I don't know what to say about
Well, there's
that.
The too long part. So a couple things. For people listening to the tape, the degree of bluntness here is probably surprising to everybody. Meaning that I think both Holden and Ellie are doing a good job in the aggregate world sense. So we just are very blunt with each other. But on the
that's high praise.
On this point, though, you still, I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. When you say something takes too long, it has a value judgment in there that I don't think you're actually making.
I know.
I don't think that you could excuse the thing that you're describing the way you're describing it. You have to figure out how much time this takes.
I know.
And so you've got to track how long they took in the past and expect them to take that long in the future until there's some change in that.
Well, the big change now is we have a paper trail and we have more sample size. So instead of carrying around ideas in our heads and writing up a giant report over months and publishing it, we now have the email record and the chat record of when we decided something, and then we know when it came out on the blog, and we're doing it one decision at a time. So I think we're in a better position to learn, and that's what you're describing, is knowing how long things take.
So that's what I'm trying to understand. Keeping the paper trail is one aspect of that. Keeping the hours is the other aspect of that.
Yep.
Like, and so.
Well, we keep our hours. I mean, we keep our hours.
On how, like, relative to how long those things are taking.
Well,
the way that you're describing.
I mean, we're not doing it as well as we could. It's the kind of thing where we'd have to reconstruct it, but we would at least have the data to do so. So,
okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I have bi-weekly reports. I have my time sheet. I can always go back and see how many hours I spent. Like, what I would basically do is I would look at the emails on the email list to know where I was in my head, look at the blog to know what I had written up, and then look at how many hours I spent on research over that time period. We have all that data, but we're not systematically, like, looking at it, but we could.
Is there, like, a mandate that you guys have determined in terms of how many times you're writing on the blog?
No.
No.
And is there a reason that you're writing on it so much?
Yeah, I mean, that's our research process. Like, we're trying to take the things we decide that are important and write them up instead of saving them for later.
Meaning, like, it couldn't be done on a weekly basis. You feel it's really important to do it every day or other day or every third day or whatever.
We don't do it every single day, but
I
try to do it as I do it. I mean, I'm really trying to, you know, I'm trying to, as I make a decision or as I find something interesting or worthwhile, to really write it up. I do think, well, I'll say also, like, we don't have a formal commitment to blog all the time. We were trying to bring the frequency up, you know, just because we wanted more of a sign of what we were doing. And, you know, I think there were a couple weeks where we definitely just spent too long. Like, we have some blog posts that we're not really capturing the middle of our process, but we're just like, hey, this is something interesting we could blog about, and just, you know, spend time on it that would have been better spent on research. But I think a lot of those blog posts are just like the process. So I actually like to take a quick look here.
But that's the idea, right? The content should be that the blog is just,
it's just
the end result of the research, so it's taking virtually no extra time.
Well, it takes extra time. The idea is that the extra time, like, that it saves time.
You're just codifying your understanding.
Right.
Which you're going to need to do anyway. Right?
It's stuff we're going to need to do.
This is
the sense in which it takes no time. The sense in which it costs no time is the sense in which we're going to need to do it anyway.
Right.
Not that it takes, you know, it takes a lot of extra time besides actually coming up with the content. So just here, like, how would I, like, this was necessary. This list of interventions, but I know the mini post. And then I have another one coming up today as soon as Ellie looks at it that's very necessary. This thing, I mean, this is more of a, like, this is good to know, this is good to keep in mind. We may use it in a decision at some point, and it's better to have it here than to just have it in our heads.
Yeah.
This mortality burdens by age group, that's necessary. But the case against disaster relief
is
a little bit
random.
More of a, you know, more
random.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, having something.
I'm just curious as to why this process can't be done on a weekly basis if the concern is around time management.
But I think this, if anything, is probably... I don't know, my sense is that this is
almost
good, good management as opposed to bad management. Right?
Can I try and draw us back up again a level to the review piece of what we're doing? we are talking at a fairly detailed level, not at a personal review level.
Yeah, so
personal. Say that what I'm hearing is, one, there's a time management problem.
Mm-hmm.
Two, there's a learning problem. Which is not to say that you're irretrievably bad at time management, you're irretrievably bad at learning, but if we're looking at where are the places where Holden did not perform as well as he could have, and we need to be focused on for improving Holden's performance, it sounds like those are the two things we've really talked about identifying here, is time management and learning.
Yeah, I think those are both... I mean,
well,
I think
there's another thing, which is essentially pushing harder on... getting good perspective from outside parties.
Yeah.
I mean, I think...
Okay, so just to cap off my review,
I
agree with that. I would just summarize my review myself saying that I worked really hard and really well in 07. I've been working reasonably hard and reasonably well, but less so in 08. I was an idiot in December of 07, so we know about that. But if I want that on the record for my review, I need to get more help. I need to go to more people for help, and that's partly just a matter of who our contacts are. We need more contacts, and we're working on getting them, and that's partly a matter of me going for help more. And then I've got to learn, you know, more about time management. So that's what I'm doing myself.
So the other thing I would ask in regard to that, Holden, you talked about getting more help from yourself, is, you know, after you were an idiot in December.
Can you speak just a little bit louder, please?
Sure, Lindy. I'm at the far end of the table, too, which doesn't help.
Why don't you come in?
I would have invited.
I don't know. It's pretty scary, the way everybody sort of moves around him.
All right.
cut that line, please.
You know, as a board, we talked about some things that we're going to do, and one of those was you either taking a class or doing something to improve yourself, and my understanding, based on our conversation 2 weeks ago, is that still has not happened.
Still has not happened. It's on, I mean, I agree with you.
You have a fundraising thing.
Not fundraising, grant-making.
Grant-making, sorry. A grant-making.
I did take one
thing, which seems like
anyway, but
seems like it's okay. But anyway,
this still seems like it's
not
the realm of solutions,
goal.
Not
but
for you, right?
I mean, correct. Well, no, it is. It's a question of we said in January that you were going to find a course that was going to make you essentially a better possible executive for the organization.
Yep.
You did not find that course. You did not take that course.
I haven't. That's right. I mean,
that's what we're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I took a course.
And that's a particular, but this general, like the January, the December example, and this, and the general way, although I think this is improving to some degree through life lessons, but he's like, there's like the biggest problem with you having this role is a maturity, like a maturity of self-control, of the recognizing the strength of finding things out from other people, the way that, like, those are all a package that come together, like the time management is linked to that as well, which is not so much that you can't manage your time, but that you can't figure out how to manage, like, how you're going to deal with that problem, is a, like, overconfidence maturity problem that, what's that?
Well, yeah, keep going.
Well, anyway, I think that that's a real thing, like, if I were designing the best, like, executive for Givewell, that's where you would fall significantly short. On passion, on intelligence, you would fall way over the bar. On that, you would fall significantly short. And I think most of the problems are related to that.
Okay, I do want to say when we're talking about overconfidence, it's true I haven't yet found the course. I'm still working on it. I do, like, I want to say that I've put lots of time into finding that course. So just, in terms, like, you know, is that an excuse for not finding it? No, but that's, it reflects on the overconfidence issue. Like, it's not something where I just said, screw this. I mean, I didn't put enough time in, but I, you know, it's not something where I just dismissed it. I tried for a long time to coordinate with Lucy when I couldn't find her. I spent plenty of time looking into courses on my own. I tried one, came up with another idea, ran it by Lucy. We agreed to it. Tim didn't like it. Like, there's been plenty of, you know, there's been effort to do that. Just want to put that out there.
In my mind, there's one thing which we like vaguely touched on, but I want to emphasize, which I think was particularly poor, was I thought just January, like to like beginning of the year through like February 15th, you were like a zombie and you were poor, like very poor in doing anything. And I think, anyway, I think you should reflect on that emotional, like pretty emotional response to what was going on.
Yeah.
And think about, like, we got to make sure that doesn't happen again because we lost. You know, our research got pushed off for 2 months as a result of it. There's a lot of things that were downsized on that, which I think were a big problem. The other thing that I wanted to bring up was...
So do you agree with that characterization? Like, I don't...
I think that was overstated.
I think it's overstated how much we... Just, I think your picture of nothing happening for those 6 weeks is inaccurate.
Okay.
Both, like, certainly, like, with the all of you well, like, we did a ton of work. On the research for the causes that we completed afterwards. And what I remember Holden spending his time on in that period was,
there was a
lot of cleanup work where we had pushed off organizational issues through December, and he spent all his time on that, and we were digging out of the publicity we got. Like, just dealing with the set of contacts we had, I don't think that we did that particularly well. But we were trying to deal with getting a lot of new contacts at a time when we agreed to be very careful about how we dealt with contacts by going to you guys. And so it was just a difficult, like, there was a lot of time sink in that period.
Can I just jump in here? I have another question for you guys.
Yep.
are there not objectives or plans set for each person working in the organization at the beginning of the year that we can actually assess slightly more objectively how people have done?
I mean, we have organizational
objectives
in the organization. It's like Holden and I are doing what we can to achieve those objectives.
No, I understand. I'm just saying, you know, when you think about how to evaluate, I'm just listening, and I feel like this entire conversation is very subjective in terms of one person saying, well, it seemed like this and it seemed like that, whereas if we were doing a review to assess performance over the past year, were there goals that were set at the beginning of the year that we can adequately say these were achieved by Holden or not?
Yeah, I think the, you know, the goals we did lay out, and we laid them out at the earlier board meetings, and I think, you know, it's in our review, it's addressed, and what I would basically say is that we wanted to create a decent-looking website with research on five causes by December 2007 and get some attention for it, and instead we did the research on five causes over 12 months instead of over six. However, we also raised more money than all that cost. We stayed under budget for just about everything. And we did get up the website in time with only the two causes that we made a pragmatic decision. And we were in position to get attention, and we did get attention, and we made the most of the attention in terms of we designed the website to catch our contacts. So even with all the screw-ups Ellie and I have had and like not responding to people, we now have this database, and we've been using it to follow up with people and get new contacts.
Right.
New
so those are the kinds of objectives I'm wondering about, because I haven't heard that kind of rigor applied to this conversation.
Well,
yet.
I mean, those...
Well, we have the annual review where we have that, and now we're trying to do as best we can an individual level.
I mean, to be frank, the way I would
say...
Sorry,
I can't hear between when we're talking with us.
We didn't. Like, we did at the organizational level. I feel pretty good about our ability to evaluate the organization against the metrics that we initially thought.
Yep.
And I feel totally, like, unsatisfied at how to evaluate Ellie and Holden at the individual level. And so I think the idea of saying we should have slightly more concrete at the individual level, you know, metrics that we're going to evaluate people on for the upcoming year, I think makes sense, and I'm, you know, in replace of having that tangible...
I'm just trying to determine if that was done last year at all, but I'm hearing the answer.
The answer is no. No,
yeah.
And in replace of that, we're having a more qualitative conversation.
The individual level.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have a different interpretation. Like, it's true, we didn't separate out me and Ellie in the organizational goals, but I also feel like we're not really talking about what was accomplished right now. We're talking about, you know, what I am relative to what I could be. And that's just a little bit of a different conversation, and to me, necessarily more qualitative.
Right.
Like, we're talking about my maturity and, you know, and my productivity, and like, to me, it's like we were purposely on all the soft stuff, because the hard stuff is in the annual review, and I think we, you know, the hard stuff, my answer is that we took twice as long as we said.
Yeah,
in the research,
I guess I'm not really getting at hard versus soft. I'm actually getting more at, like, you know, I wanted to take a class, and this was the class I was going to take, and I did or did not, which I heard you guys talk about.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Holden should be spending 30% of his time on this, 20% on this, and 50% on this. Like, that I haven't heard either. And those can be soft issues to talk about.
Right.
It's not clear to me that there are objectives that we're evaluating against. It's a little hard for me to think in terms of review, unless we're just saying, like, here's a coaching session for Holden. This could very well be. I just want to clarify as I'm thinking and listening.
I think we have not set the kind of things you're talking about. If spend X percent of my time on this, we could.
We didn't do that before. We didn't know. Like, so maybe we can on an ongoing basis. Like, so Holden's goal to begin the year, Holden's goal more clearly than, at least for me, was more clear than Ellie's, which is get this organization up and running, make it happen. Like, and in the beginning, it was use Ellie as a resource and a partner to do that. And so the organizational goals and Holden goals are identical in my view of that. And it would have been, I don't know how we could have possibly thought about time allocation before we started rolling along. So that would have been my kind of view on that. And I do think we can assess Holden as whether the organizational review and the Holden review to me are intertwined, and then there's the, so
to whether he achieved the stuff, and we just went through the achievements and the things that missed,
yeah.
And then there's the question of why. So you could be late on stuff because you had no idea how long stuff took, or you could be late on stuff because you didn't work hard, or you could be late on stuff because you, for like a million different reasons. And so we have to explore the why the organization achieved certain things and missed certain things. That's the that to me is what we can get out of this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I look back, and the big things to think about in terms of negative outcomes were the rate of things relative to what we expected going in,
mm-hmm.
and Holden's, the whole problem in December. Those are the two
mm-hmm.
like significant negatives. And
mm-hmm.
we haven't spent a lot of time on positives, which is our way, but we can talk through all of, but I think they're generally categorized under being passionate and intelligent. Most of the things that went well, and like I guess with the passion is working hard, are the reason that things that were successful, and I'm still not sure I understand the cause of the two things that I would consider problems.
Well, I think certainly on the January situation, we explored at length what the causes are.
Right. And I think we came up with maturity.
Right.
Like, and to some degree,
judgment.
Issues.
And guidance, roughly.
Yeah, but right. I mean, I don't think guidance had much to do with it, just because we wouldn't have been involved at that low a level under any circumstances.
I'm just imagining the guidance of Holden calls and said, well, I was wondering if it was a good idea for me to impersonate someone else. <I saw. laughs>
No. Put that on the tape. you can replay that anytime you
want.
You too,
Ellie. You just summed that up really well. I'm just trying to be conscientious of time.
Okay. So I think we could be done with Holden's review as far as I'm concerned. I think that's where it is.
Well, do you think that, so isn't now the time to decide if Holden is going to regain his title?
No.
Not with me in the room.
Yeah, although I think we should, like, do you have anything to say on that matter?
I think that it's a practical plus for me to gain my title back, because I think that I've been, you know, de facto in that role and setting the strategic vision, and I think we're just in better position if we have an executive director. We're in better position for anyone we talk to, and I think de facto we do. So that's why I want that role back. The thing I care about more is the board role, because I never understood why I was removed from the board, and I think I should have a vote on the board. Not in this organization, I think I should have a vote on the board. There's also practical advantages to me being board secretary that allows me to testify to things and sign to things, that just when we're getting insurance, when we're getting a bank deal, it's handy, and it's also, there's advantages to it, and I don't understand why I was ever removed from that position. I feel much more strongly about the board role.
Yeah, and so I feel like we need to have an executive director. I think it's a hindrance to not have that role, like that neither of us has that role. I also think that we should have staff on the board, like personally, and it's just my personal opinion. Like, I think both staff should be on the board. I think that Holden and I are by far the biggest investors in this project.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand that, you know, I understand that generally that's not what's done in the nonprofit sector, that it would look weird if we're on the board. It may, you know, hurt the perception, and so I'm willing to, I understand why I wouldn't be.
It would violate the Better Business Bureau standards for charity accountability, and that's why we're not doing it. But I completely agree with Ellie. Like, I think, you know, to have two paid employees out of seven on the board.
I mean, in terms of that, it's just because in terms of the project, right, like we are the two most, we're giving the most, we care, I mean,
right.
I mean, I don't know, I wouldn't say we care about it the most, but on some level,
we're investing the most, though.
And so it just seems, it's just, you're in terms of, I mean, Holden and I discussed, because we need an executive director, it could be either of us, and I think it makes sense for it to be Holden. Like, I think that, you know, over the past few months, the distinction between who's driving the organization as a whole is more blurred, but I think it's still, you know, it's, anyhow, I would still think it makes sense for it to be him relative to me.
That's close. But anyway, I want to just pipe up about what Ellie said. Like, it is the, we want to be in compliance with the Better Business Bureau standards of charity accountability. That's why we only want one paid employee on the board, but I don't understand, and I'm not going to pretend otherwise. Like, I think that Ellie and I are the absolutely biggest investors in this project, and I would much prefer that we both be on the board. It doesn't make sense to me that we're not, but I don't think it's a big enough deal, and I think we should be in compliance.
Okay. Well,
I think we should.
Well, I want to get hold of like on that, like the on the executive director thing.
Yep.
But not doing the course is like to me a pretty like I see it like you didn't like you said you did try or whatever. It doesn't seem that seems not right to me, and it does seem like pretty inconsistent with what how you should operate as an executive director. The board tells you to do something, you figure out a way to do it, and it's not that impossible a thing. And so I do think that like I'd like that resolved on that case, and I think that you're still operating that you don't have that you're not operating like an executive director reporting to the board and doing what the like that there's an element of you that's operating like an individual entrepreneur.
I mean, I disagree with you on the course. I kept my understanding is Lucy was supposed to work with me on that course, but she was the person I was supposed to be discussing with and reporting to and keeping her in the loop, and I absolutely did that. She knew exactly where I was at all times on that search, and, you know, so I don't, this is not something I decided to do by myself and didn't tell anyone. It was in a bi-weekly report every single time, and I didn't even, you know, the item was the same every time. It was there, didn't take it out. I told Lucy I'm signing up for this course. I did sign up for it. I took it. And then I tried to call her several more times, and finally we got together and we agreed on another course I would take, and I signed up for it. And I'm still signed up for it, by the way. It's just that after talking to Tim, Tim doesn't like it, and he thinks I should cancel it. So I've been very, like, you can say I didn't take the course, and that therefore I didn't get the training I need, and that therefore I'm not ready, and if you want to say that, I don't have an answer. But if you want to talk about my, you know, my acting like an entrepreneur and ignoring the board, that's inaccurate. I took the person that I was told I was going to be reporting to on that, reported to her, I kept her in the loop, you know, and so that's where I am on that.
Okay. Okay, should we move to Ali's review?
Yeah.
Can I go first?
Go ahead. Sure.
Yeah, so we got a little preview of this in the review of me. Like, I think Ellie was kind of have been much better the latter part of the year than the first part, and so I thought in the first part of the year he was maybe not even not even totally committed to the project and was working only on very narrow tasks, and it was kind of frustrating. There was just a lot of stuff he wouldn't do. He wouldn't work on the budget, wouldn't do fundraising. I did all the fundraising. He wanted to do the writing, but he just wasn't very good at it, and so I did the writing. And it was really frustrating for a while, and made him not contribute that much. And then I would say sometime around, I mean, I think the two of us were, I think a few things happened. I think one of them is that the two of us had a lot of conversations and discussions and arguments about the division of labor and have just come up with ways to do things that work better. Finding Ellie tasks that he can do that don't require checking in with me all the time, where we both kind of have our separate domains and we're able to go on them a lot and just check in when we need to. You know, so I think we've come up with better ways of distributing labor, and so between that, and I also think maybe he's just, you know, maybe gotten more engaged with the project, but now he's, you know, kind of taking the lead role on marketing, on raising pledges. And I think he's been doing really well with that. He's been just, you know, being very proactive and really leading the way and pushing me around to get it done. And then I've been more taking the lead on research. And I think that ever since we started that arrangement, things have been going a lot better. And I think that Ellie's been, like, I think there's a real question of, you know, I think it's close to a tie as far as, like, who's the driving, who should be the executive director or stuff. So I think that he's been much better lately. Let's see, what else do I have to say about Ellie? I mean,
so how are you assessing that? The quality of that, the quality of the fundraising and the things that you're describing? How do you know that?
Well, I know because he's on his own on the pledge raising, and he's going and finding, you know, he's going through our list of contacts, he's finding people he wants to contact, he's deciding what he wants to do. He'll find someone who, you know, he wants to do that he found in some way that we didn't agree to. He'll send it to me, and there's just this constant stream of activity where he's, you know, every day going through, like, at this point, I don't know, 50, 100 people, and, like, pinging them all, you know, writing the emails to them and just taking care of it. And I think that we're, you know, I don't know.
It's a highly different, that sounds like there, you can, I can see how you're measuring that there's a lot of activity going on.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand how you know the quality of that activity is good.
Well, I mean, I think it's hard, right? Like, I don't know what to compare the amount of money we've raised and the people we talk to. I don't know how to compare that to what we could be doing.
But do you know what the discussions are like? Like, whenever I see you together, as an example, like the way that I would think you would do this is you would see what he's saying, like, versus what, but whenever I see you two together, which might have changed, you're talking. And now he's there.
Right.
And without, like, so therefore, I think Ellie could assess what you're like in that situation. I'm sure, have you seen the other? Have you seen what it's like when he's doing those conversations? Have you seen the, like, what?
Oh, in the pitches.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I have trouble keeping my mouth shut. I've been doing it more lately. So when he leads on a pitch, I still end up talking a fair amount, and I've been stopping that lately. So I think he gives a good pitch, and the results as far as he's successfully been getting people to pledge and refer us to other people. We should go through our pitch notes and tabulate like our hit rate. You know, when we talk to people, how often do they pledge, how often do they connect, but it's very high, isn't it?
Once we talk about him into a selected group. I mean, that wouldn't work that well to know he's doing better, but the best thing we can do is just listen to each other. And, you know, gain a sense of what the other person does wrong.
Right.
We weren't doing that enough earlier, but we started doing it in the last couple weeks and sending each other feedback on what we think the other is doing
and
well.
That's another thing where we didn't have a paper trail, and now we do. So we have this very large list of, you know, notes to each other, feedback. You know, every time we have a pitch, we say what happened and why in the pitch. So that's something anyone who wants to look at that can. And, you know, anyone on the board, I mean, that stuff is private, just to be clear. I think he does a good pitch. We have discussions of each other's strengths and weaknesses. I feel like that's more detailed than we need to go into. But, I definitely am at the point where I would feel good, you know, having, if there's someone I can't talk to, I'll just have Ellie talk to them instead. That's, like, not a second thought for me, and it used to be a huge deal. So, I mean, all that said, I mean, I think Ellie's not at the level I was last year. Neither of us are. I think we're roughly now at both at the level where we're working pretty well, pretty productively. We're not all on all the time. Sometimes we have tough weeks, and sometimes we have other engagements. So neither of us is like I was last year. I'm not sure how sustainable that was.
Okay. Do you want to add anything, Ellie?
No, I mean, I think... I do think that my main weakness, and you've seen it multiple times, is that when like in a new situation, I tend to be very passive and sort of sitting back and watching how things work, and I don't have the tendency to just dive in. And I think I've done a better job just diving in. Like, I still think, honestly, I'm not active enough, and I think in particular the place that I'm missing now is I think I'm being more active about my own work and driving things for GiveWell, but not actively monitor and hold it, which is a mistake in a two-person organization. I forgot the other thing I was going to say.
So. Oh, what's your assessment of what changed?
Oh, that was the other
thing.
If
you agree
like the way
with what holds
the thing, I have this like mental problem. Like, there's a problem in my brain where like I can't bring myself to do anything where I think someone else will take care of it. And if I have that like gut feeling, then it like leads me to be passive. And when I see that like the person is not going to take care of it and relies on me, I'm much more likely to become active. I've done that like the number of times I've done that in my life. It's sort of weird that like I keep making the same mistake, but that's what I think changed. That I said, I think that the problems in December made me recognize that I had failed to, like, I had allowed Holden to make an error, that error, to in some senses push me into making the error myself, and it had to do with me just sort of relying on him and shifting that my perspective to be like, you know, I need to actively, I need to be doing more myself, you know, change things. So
the key was losing confidence in me. That's what we needed Ellie to do. That's why I went in.
Right.
I think we're genius.
Describe it as like ownership.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
And that's also, I mean, it's not just the mistakes I made, but also the division of labor, I think, has helped with that. Like, we definitely said, this is Ellie's fear. If Ellie doesn't do it, it's not getting done in the marketing side. And did the opposite for me in research.
So that's all I have to add.
Ellie, now that you have more ownership,
ownership of a nonprofit.
You know, ownership of what the issues are. Are you confident, one, that you would not let Holden push you into making errors in judgment again? And if that answer to that is yes, why?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I think that my attitude is more, you know, I'm more skeptical towards what Holden says. Like, it seems, it's hard to say now, like, it seems insane to have any other perspective on the answer to that question. But, I mean, am I confident? I don't know. Like, I hope that's what I'll do. Like, that's what I plan to do. So, you know, that's all. Like, I came into the organization.
And so let me preface that to say, in my experience, you're a fairly reflective person. Right, you didn't sort of just go through this and blow it off and say, oh, it was a simple mistake, I'm never going to do it again. You actually spent a good deal of time thinking about what happened and how you made such a boneheaded mistake. Not saying that Holden didn't do that, but you know, you and I had a number of conversations and you weren't waiting for other people to reflect for you. You were doing a lot of that thinking yourself. So I can only imagine that at least at some point since February, you thought, would I make that mistake again? And being a reflective person, you presumably came to some conclusion about how confident you are that you wouldn't make that mistake again or that you were not yet confident in that.
Are you confident?
Yes. I mean, I'm not answering the question. I hope,
it's a binary question.
If I have the right understanding of what went wrong, I don't think the same thing will happen. I mean, you know, I think the primary problem is letting someone else dictate what goes on. Of course, like, if you had asked me this quite honestly, if you had asked me this question 2 years ago, I would have given the same answer. So I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I don't expect your confidence answer to be the correct answer, but it is should be an accurate reflection of how you feel, right? I can make my own decision about whether I trust your confidence level, but I want to know where you're confident.
Maybe confident, but...
Okay, so we are good interviews, you guys. Is that the basic plan? But before we do, are we also deciding on compensation while you guys are out? Is that the plan, or I just want to make sure we have
the compensation is supposed to go out of the room.
Okay, are you guys
the recommendation
about that? Like, or if we just approve the thing that's been recommended, are we done with that? Is there anything
to
say about that?
I have nothing. I mean, we set those salaries in the beginning based on the idea that. You know, it was an approximation of what we spent. I think it's been about right for me. It's about what I spend, and I'm not living hugely large, but I'm also not, you know, starving myself. So I think that's about right. And the idea is not to, you know, the idea is to be able to pay enough to support a normal lifestyle, which is anyone who's been to my apartment knows I don't have more than that. And so I think it's fine. We're not asking for a raise.
Yeah, we're fine. Like, I mean, I think the compensation's fine. Like, I'm getting married in January, and so like, it'll be a little bit tighter. But I live in Boston, where things are cheaper. So
he essentially makes more than I do.
Yeah.
But we also should put it out there. I mean, as early as we can. That, like, we don't. You know, if GiveWell, we think that, you know, we imagine making more in the future if we're going to stay with GiveWell long term. Now, we don't predict doing that unless GiveWell gets big enough to make it make sense. And so, I would think that if GiveWell becomes a large nonprofit, we would make salaries commensurate with executives at a large nonprofit. And if it doesn't get that big, and or we can't get those salaries, we probably won't stay with the project. And I think that's fine. Like, the goal is to have this be big and justify the use of our human capital. But we're not asking for that now. We just want to keep the same salaries for a startup, and that's it.
All right.
Okay.
So what's happening right now? Are these guys leaving?
So they're out. They're so in our reviews, I don't know to what level we want to go into the conclusion of our reviews. Is that something?
Do you want me to sort of make this general statements again?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think you summarized well, and then the conclusions.
Holden, the general statement that I'm going to try to recreate as closely as possible is that we think you have achieved extraordinary things in the last 12 months. And that is because of your passion and your vision and your highly unusual talents to achieve those. But we also recognize that there are a number of limitations that are both limiting to you and limiting to the organization in terms of time management, self-learning, and development of leadership skills. And so those are the things that we want you to be really focused on if the organization is to succeed, because we do believe in your role in the organization that you've achieved in.
Sorry, time management, self-leadership, and
leadership skills.
Leadership skills.
What can you explain to me? What do you mean by leadership skills?
Well, I mean, we're all disappointed that, you know, you didn't take the course, and I think not because you didn't take the specific course in, like, a very, like, whatever, specific, we told you to take the course, and you didn't, but we didn't think that you complied even with the spirit of what we were talking about, which is that, you know, it was clear in January that you were lacking skills that were necessary to be the leader of this organization.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, 9 months later, we don't see materially that you've improved that skill set and that you've worked to improve that skill set. And so, you know, I think that the...
But I'm asking what those skills are. The leaders, besides...
Let me suggest that this is a conversation that can happen without the full board in this meeting.
Okay.
We've got a good recording of it.
Okay.
And Bob has all of that and was here present for the conversation. And so...
Okay.
Would suggest that we follow up on that way, so we keep moving through the decisions that we need the full board here to make.
Yeah, so maybe you can finish with your summary.
Yeah. Ellie, we're very pleased with the progress that was made this year and how that was represented by Holden and the changes that have happened over the course of the year, and want to recognize what you've achieved this year in that regard, and strongly encourage you to continue on the ownership and initiative, because if the organization is to be what it needs to be, then you need to be even better at those things than you have been so far. But overall, we're very pleased with the trajectory of the year.
Other decisions that I think are important to note is that we felt, as a result of essentially some of the deficiencies that we don't think have been sufficiently addressed, Holden, that moving you to a position of executive director doesn't make sense right now. And that essentially, like, we believe that there are very positive things that you bring to the table, particularly around essentially the strategic guidance for this organization, that mean that you have the capability to be the leader of this organization, but we want to see you develop those skills. We want to see you potentially follow through in the spirit of our desire for you to develop your ability to be a leader of the organization. And so, you know, would feel a lot more comfortable if we saw more of that. You know, I didn't talk something like, you know, seeing this over the next 3 to 6 months. We could talk on a more sort of tactical level at it offline about that. I think what we did agree on, which is important, is that when we think about who are the
key stakeholders of the organization who are providing, who is providing, you know, as part of the responsibilities of the board, you know, there's the responsibility of good governance and the responsibility to provide sort of excellent strategic thinking for the organization. And I think, you know, you provide some of the, you know, the most intense passion and best strategic thinking for the organization. And so I think, you know, it makes a lot of sense to have you sit on the board, right, in the capacity of a person sort of providing that guidance for the organization, though sort of in some ways removed from the, you know, the guidance, the oversight aspect of the organization. So to the extent that the board is engaging in activities directly related to the oversight, you won't be involved, mm-hmm. but you will have a vote on the board.
Okay. Secretary position?
Seems fine.
Goes well.
Does anyone have anything else to add about those conclusions?
I'd like to know more about what you want me to do to satisfy what you're looking for, but I guess that's something.
I think it's a poor decision. Like, I think there's no, I don't understand. Like, I think it was the wrong decision in January to not have an executive director. I didn't, you know, say it loudly enough then. Like, I really think this is just dumb. Like, we need to have an executive
director.
It's Ellie.
Hi, okay, thanks.
I just think it doesn't make sense. Like, we need an executive director. I don't think it sounds to me, it's almost like, you know, we're not in a situation where we should say Holden's not good enough to be executive director, therefore we just won't have one and we'll wait around. Like, we need someone to play that role. So do you guys have someone else in mind to play that role? Like, I don't think the board is...
Well, I think our view is that we have to, look, if Holden's not going to be... managed. Like, this is part of managing Holden. If you said executive director requires this set of skills, this set of, like, judgment, whatever, if you just draw the, what do you want in an executive director? What are the things that Holden's lacking? Like, I think there is a maturity management skill. I would probably use the word management skill instead of leadership skill, because I think Holden's actually become a leader, but a bad manager. And that if that's a requirement for executive director, we have to force Holden to do it as a board to get himself to that level. And there's much more sort of Holden's mind being like, I'm not an acceptable, like, what we're not talking about is doing a course for the purpose of checkoff. It's changing Holden's mindset, which I think only the board's only going to accomplish by holding the standard that if you want to be executive director, you need to, like, self-reflect more, figure out ways that you're going to put yourself in the position to be...
I just think we're too...
Which is also arguments for why it doesn't matter that much.
Well, the reason it matters, the only reason it matters to me is I want the name on the business card when we meet the funders. I want them to say who is in charge.
And let me
we don't have to say, we're too young and inexperienced to have an executive director. Like, I don't think that...
Well, then just then make it a priority and meet the standard.
No, okay. I understand what you're saying.
Right, I just disagree with that. Like, I think that... He's going to do his best. Like, I think that the class, like, in my mind, the class thing is overblown. Like,
but it's not about the class. It's about the spirit of, demonstrating desire and accomplishment of developing the skills that we're looking for.
I think this is just particularly bad to do without consulting with Lucy. That's all I'm saying. And I think you should. She's the one who spoke with me about this thing.
So we're happy to reconsider at some other point. We're all wanting you to have that title in the sense that, but. I think that there is, like, so when we talk about Holden's weakness, I think this weakness exists more than Holden accepts it, the weakness of recognizing his own weaknesses and being just more mature. Like, and I think the only way, literally, if Holden's going to run, if this is going to be a long career path, the only people that can hold Holden accountable is us. Like, and if there's no no, Holden, this is how you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. Holden won't.
I don't think you guys are in a position to really hold him accountable. Like, I think that you're too removed. You're to play that role well. Like, I think that...
It's our responsibility.
We're playing the role the best we can. I agree with you. I don't think we can play the role well. But this is, like, a real basic. Like, if you don't want a board, that's a whole different discussion. But if you're going to have a board and... There is a concept behind this thing in the class, which is, look, you showed the immaturity that you're not ready to be an executive director, a decision you didn't agree with at the time either, but I think it was very clear that if we're going to have a board, if there's anything, like, we're going to have to deal with what are Holden's weaknesses and how are we going to ensure a path towards improving them. I think your argument that the board can't do anything is...
Not that it can't do anything. I'm going to leap in here and say I'm leaving that door at 10 o'clock. So if there are other decisions that we need the board to make...
I accept that. The thing that frustrates me is that you're playing the role of trying to hold us accountable, but we don't have the opportunity to debate the decisions that you make because it's so hard to... Like, it's hard to schedule the meeting. It's so hard to sit here and have this discussion. And so what frustrates me is where I feel like you are making my job more difficult because we don't have an executive director and we're trying to raise money. And I can't even be heard. Like, I'm not satisfied with the conclusion that you reached. Like, I can see that it might be the right decision, but right now I don't agree with it. And I can't even come to feeling good about the decision, which is tough. And this is what, you know, my life is all about right now. So.
And I've got something much shorter to say, which is, like, my impression is that you guys are putting a large amount of this decision on one event that you don't understand at all, and that you should talk to Lucy and that's it.
No.
But what I mean, I just don't understand what the other evidence is that I'm got problems with the things you say. So that's all I want to say. And I just think
you make the other decision. So I'm happy to stay here and debate with you guys for longer if you want. I think we all, it was 4-0, and it was meaning that I think we're all on that point in agreement. Not that we're in agreement, not that everything was, but I'm just saying that on that point in agreement. My point, any one of us could represent that thinking if you want to.
Alright, then we'll do that offline.
Alright. What's up next?
Well, we should pull up those bylaws again because I want to make sure that as long as we're doing our annual review that we discuss the other things.
That we agree to the compensation recommendation?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's the...
Your salary will not be reduced to $1.
Good.
Despite Greg's desire to.
I know.
There's also a suggestion of paying you just an honest fee.
So, why didn't you take that one?
Seeing how much you could make out of bartering bottles of tea.
All right, so we did this. Partnerships, joint ventures, and arrangements with management organizations conform to the corporation's written policies. I would be lying if I said I knew exactly what that means, but we don't have any such arrangements.
And we periodically review payments for goods and services. So
yeah, the only contractors we've used are two web designers for very small amounts, and then our materials designer, which we've discussed above.
Yep, we discussed that.
And obviously our lawyers as well.
Yeah, I mean, everything that you've done in terms of that has been through the budget and been explicit, so
yep.
I feel fine on that.
Yeah. Then, you got the budget.
Let's talk the budget.
Okay, well, here's the budget. We approved, the projected is what we approved above the January through April. I divided it up this way because we did approve expenses through April at the December meeting. And so this is the projected versus the expense. And then since then, you know, we've kept postponing this meeting, and so we've carried on, and that means that we're, you know, personally liable for any expenses that aren't approved. That's what our bylaws state. Because we have spent money. And so this is basic picture. I hope people have had a chance to look at it. The basic situation is that we have a decent amount of money in the bank to operate. We've been able to stay under budget throughout the project so far. These, I think, are pretty conservative estimates, and we can afford them. So that's the big picture. And then I'll discuss a couple specific items that aren't on here. I mean, they're included in the categories, but I just want to bring them up because we're here.
Isn't there the payroll processing fees projected, the top line?
Audit and audit prep.
The very top line.
Yeah.
We already paid for
that's
our
audit. Projection.
No. We paid for the audit from last year, and that was in the 2007 budget. The audit for next year is in the 2008 budget.
Right. So I'm talking about the very top line of the old budget says projected is zero.
Yeah, I think we just, I think I either put that in with payroll taxes. Like, I looked back at the old numbers, and that wasn't broken out as a separate item. I may have included it in payroll taxes, and I may have not, but since we're under overall, I mean, I may have forgotten to include payroll processing fees, or I may have put them in payroll taxes, and I didn't sweat it too much, because that's not an optional expense, and we're under budget overall.
Okay. And the primary reason why we're under budget and not overall is that
the penalties,
and we've spent less on hosting.
Well, yeah, we budgeted all this stuff for miscellaneous expenses, and we just didn't, you know, that was the $10,000 for the website was kind of, I think the actual document said like catch all miscellaneous, so we just didn't spend that much. We spent $1,600 on the website, and then we got a mailbox and did some other stuff.
Right.
So that's our budget. Any questions? Okay.
I move to approve the budget.
Approved.
Approved on this side.
Well, I'm on the board now. I approve. That was a thrill. Okay. Yeah, a couple specific things. Just want to let people know. Ellie and I are going to San Francisco in about a week. We have a lot of contacts that we've met through the web, through the Times. They're setting us up with people there. We're speaking to Google. And at this point, we have, like, a lot of meetings booked. And so that's why both of us chose to buy tickets. So we're going to, you know, get the cheapest hotel room we can and have a lot of fun, the two of us together in that room. And we got plane tickets. So that's
Are you talking to at Google?
We're giving, like, a presentation. What's the actual name of the thingy?
The room?
No.
It's like a Google Talk.
Yeah.
Maybe you and I can talk about that because I have some contacts there that you may want to meet with.
Okay.
Great.
Thanks.
So definitely, yeah, if anyone has anyone out in the Bay Area or L.A., we're spending a day in L.A. as well, then you should let us know because we're going to be out there. So hang on. Okay. Another thing that I think is could have maybe categorized better here. It might fall under the heading of miscellaneous admin. But, I think that we, with our research plan, and this is something that I don't know if it's something we want to discuss at this meeting, but our research plan, one of the things we want to do is take what we call a region-based approach, which is pick a couple parts of the world, a couple small areas, and really get to know them and try to find organizations that are specifically doing things that are good for those regions. It's not the only research we're doing. We think there's value also in kind of large-scale programs that go region to region, but we think this will be good for some donors and give us just a better overall understanding. And so as part of that, you know, we're basically trying to pick two regions to focus on, and we plan to visit both. I don't know exactly for how long yet. I just wanted to put out a heads up that that's something we plan to do. And we're probably going to try and get arrangements with some, you know, we may try and get some volunteering arrangement for, you know, for housing, but we will need to pay plane fare. So just wanted to put that out there. So it's not a shock to anyone. This is something we decided not to do last year, but I think it makes a lot of sense this year. Like this year we're really trying to do developing world aid right. And I think that at this point, from the donors we've talked to, I think that we should go out there, not just for credibility, but because the way we're designing our research, we should get a sense of where we are.
If you're going to do that, first of all, I wonder if it needs to be a we as opposed to a single person.
Yeah.
The second thing is, I do, I would like a relatively tangible explanation of exactly what that would make up, like
yeah.
What you would be doing.
What we're going to be doing day to day, and we don't know that yet, so I'm really just giving you a heads up. But I agree.
Those two things would make
right.
me feel more comfortable about
right.
it.
We may send one of us to each like region. You know, we may not send both of us to both. That's something we've also been not sure about yet. So it's really just a heads up at this point.
I would want a really compelling explanation of how you're going to understand a region on a short trip.
The idea is not to understand it. The idea is that it's something we don't want to leave out of the process.
So I don't necessarily oppose the idea of you guys going and seeing. I think that can be really helpful. They sort of watch
yeah.
something.
Yep.
I would be really careful about talking about it as a regional focus as opposed to hands-on looking at a program so we see how they operate in certain contexts, but having
yep.
a very clear and very limited explanation of what it is you're doing and
yeah.
not overselling it.
we don't plan to oversell it. We'll provide that. The big difference between this and last year is last year we were kind of attacking developing world all at once or Africa all at once. And here it's like we're going to be going to a place that's the same as a place where we're funding a program.
Can I suggest that we discuss this when you have a plan to bring to us?
Yep.
I think that makes sense.
So that's it. So with that said, I just wanted to give the heads up. I mean, what we have here on the schedule next is metrics. I mean, to me, it's just a broad, you know, we've got this plan to focus on GiveWell pledges and developing world direct aid. Our goal is basically to move $500,000 of money. That's not a number we came up with in any particular way, but it would be over twice what we moved last year. If people have questions about the plan, this is a reasonable time for them, but we could also do it offline. I mean, we've written it all up.
I'm a little concerned about the goal being something that we've arrived at in no particular way.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, the number is. I mean, the goal is to move as much money as possible.
Okay.
That was the number.
We just don't know how to come up with a good number benchmark.
So there are a couple of concerns about that. One is it's more than double, which seems a odd goal when everybody's talking about giving to charity plummeting this year.
This is such a, you have to come to awesomeness of the way that we're going to get them to give to charity.
Okay.
I need your back here.
Which I don't want to discount, but just being purely awesome when even things like the Robin Hood charity auction are off by 40%, predicting doubling in a way that's going to hold you guys accountable to a standard that I'm not sure is fair.
Yeah.
That being said, I think we're tapping a month. Like the people we tapped before, you know, last year are basically in this building, right?
Yeah.
And we're tapping a new donor base. Like I think the conceptual idea that basically we're spending roughly $250,000 to effectively direct $500,000. Like I think that feels roughly good to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meaning like. Okay, like I feel like I'm getting good, reasonable bang for my buck. It seems like a very reasonable, like this is a doable thing. And I also think that as far as that metric goes, we're not hanging our hat on it. It ends up being, you know, $350,000. Should we talk about why that is and what happens and we understand it? They deserve 60% the pay that they got.
And in terms of the plan, my concern is that what you just said, Bob, is part of the plan, that we've come up with this number because it seems a reasonable based on the amount of money that we're spending to move it, but we're going to review it on a regular basis based on progress to date, and that isn't given thus far, that we haven't often defined very clear ways we're going to recognize the achievements of the people involved, that we make sure that that is not... So it doesn't appear to the outside world that we set a goal and then changed it when they didn't make it.
Yes, I agree. I would also, as part of that, be interested in setting some sort of number of people involved goal. I know.
Yeah, number.
I mean, that's like a
same
concept, but and I don't. I'd have to think about what that number should be, and it would be worthwhile having you guys reflect on that and try and figure out what a reasonable goal related to that would be.
I think we'll be in a better position to discuss all this like after our... We've kind of just started really picking up with the pledge raising, and the San Francisco trip, I think, is going to be a real good indicator. It's the first time we've been in front of crowds of any kind, like more than one person at once. I think we'll know more about just how it's going and what we should be aiming for.
It's perfectly plausible to me that you'll hit 2 million.
We have no idea. We picked that number because it seems a little bit out of reach, based on our just back of the envelope stuff, but we're going
to
be.
And we did. Like we talked to three or four different fundraisers, and they offered no help at all in setting that number. So
they thought ours sounded fine.
Okay.
So one of the things I just said at the beginning was wanting to get a better picture of the research, which we sort of talked about in the middle of this, as well as a pledge update.
Yep.
I see from that thing. We have 127,000 in pledges right now.
That sounds high.
Yeah, it's about 100. We have about... That's pledged. That number is dollars pledged to donate to GiveWell that we have not collected the checks for. That's 127,000.
That's a totally different
thing. Oh, okay.
So pledges, like what we have collected in terms of money, like towards the 500 grand goal, we have 100 grand collected.
Okay.
That includes money that came in like at the end of last year through our website, which is restricted to grants because that's what it said,
yep.
And money we've raised through our initial
contacts. Through people making pledges.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What is the time frame? I'm sorry, when you say year, what are you referring to?
What do you mean? Well, the
for
pledge.
For this year, you say 500,000. What does that mean? By December?
Right. We're thinking by December, largely.
You mean like for our, I mean, I think it's a little bit vague, and so what I mean is, like, we have our next round of research, so it's, like, moved through our next round of research, and we don't have a good, like, one thing we need to do is set a firm timeline for completing those recommendations.
Yep.
But the rough timeline is, like, 3 to 6 months for that phase to be over. You know, so money raised...
Research to be done?
For the
research to be done.
For the money, for the pledges from donors to be at the charities we have recommended. So for the whole process to finish.
Right.
So 6 months is like the limit on that work.
But right. This is not a 2008 thing. This is like a...
Right, this is next round.
It's a 2008 round, which I think makes sense.
Right, I'm just thinking from a charitable donation perspective. You're not talking about the 2008 tax year.
Right.
Well, except insofar as we're able to use vehicles like donor advised fund.
But we recognize that the December as being important to charitable giving, and so we're going to do what we can to finish some set of recommendations as soon as we can.
Right.
Like both for publicity and for donors. But there's we just don't think it's realistic to finish all of our research by the end of the year.
Understood. Is there an intention to be more proactive in terms of setting a stricter cycle? So we get pledges in January, we do research from January, December, we decide. Like, is that in the works?
Well, I just think that things are going to change so much. Like, we're going to learn so much in the next 6 months about what type of mechanism we use next for GiveWell. Like, what the next, I'm not sure the next stage for GiveWell is just going to be new rounds of research, more pledges. You know, so I'm not sure that makes sense to discuss.
Well,
right
the
now.
Other thing is that our research process is so different from the first round that I find it very hard to make time estimates now. And I think that as you know, we'll do this round, and if we decide the next round is going to look similar, then we'll be able to base our time estimates off this one. If we decide that we have to revamp.
So let me be more clear.
Yep.
Say I'm a donor, yep. And I want to give you $5,000 in a pledge.
Yep.
And I say today on September 8th, I'm going to give you $5,000. When am I going to know where that money, what your recommendations are? What would your answer be?
And so what I've been telling people is that, you know, we'll have recommendations for you within 3 to 6 months. If you'll have some charities to give to. And I ask them if a 2008 deduction is important to them. And so far, only one or two people have said that it is.
And they're comfortable with you saying 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, I haven't heard any.
I mean, I've been even, this is something we should talk about, I've been even vaguer, like I've been with donors, I've said, like, honestly, we are redoing our research process, we don't know how to calibrate how long it's going to take, we're aiming for 6 months, and like, if you need your deduction at a certain time, we can arrange that via donor-advised fund, but as far as the recommendations, like, we're doing it as fast as we can. That's what I've done, and people have been okay with that. And if a lot of people weren't okay with that, I think 6 months is where I'd aim and force ourselves to, because that's what we're doing anyway, informally.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking maybe to the next step, which it may be premature, but I think a little bit more rigor around that timing. And I understand there's more information to be gathered through this round, but as you're gathering that information and anticipating the future, I think it's really important to get a little more rigorous around the time cycle.
I agree. We're frustrated by not knowing how long this is going to take, but we're trying to manage donors' expectations rather than box ourselves in.
Is there anything else we need to vote on before 10?
Nope. Okay. We're done.